Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, one of our kids had some troubles this morning. Our little, we have four-legged friends, kids, and this morning, just as I was getting ready to lock up the house and bring the dogs inside, you know, because they run around, and Mozzie, the baby, he's only a year, oh, I don't know, a year and a few months, the cutest. Is he not the cutest? How many see my Mozzie Monday every Monday? Yeah. Right? Anyway, he comes in the house, and I look down, and there's just blood everywhere. It's all over the place, and immediately I think his big brother Riggsy has ripped a hole in him, which that's happened before. And I'm just like, what in the world? And he cut the bottom of his foot somehow. But anyway, so he's fine. The bleeding stopped. It did require a quick wardrobe change on my part. Because, you know, as soon as anything's wrong, it's like, hello, hello, hello. help me. Something's wrong here. But anyway, so Pastor Scott's going to run home and check on him, make sure he's okay. I believe that he is. The bleeding stopped. I have no idea what he cut his foot on, but that's what dogs do. How many dog lovers in here? Right? How many cat lovers? Stretch your hands out, pray for them. No, I'm kidding, Bev. You know I'm kidding. See that look she gave me? She's like, you better watch it. You better watch it. All right, well, praise the Lord. We had such a great time yesterday at the 4th of July celebration in Lake Worth. The city of Lake Worth always does such a great job, and really, I know that city of Lake Worth has gotten a little bit of bad press lately, but I tell you, as for us as a church, they have always treated us really, really well, and just been, we've always had favor with them. They are such a blessing to us, and we try to be a blessing back to them, and so I just felt like it was important to share that, to let you know, because I know they've been in the press a little bit. But they really have always treated us very well as a church and been just very, very gracious to us. And they let us have our booth there. They don't charge us anything, give us free power, are always excited that we're going to be a part of it. And yesterday, I wish we would have counted how many faces we painted, because the line from the event started at 2, but our face painting started at 1:30. And Anais was there, and people were like, oh, are you painting faces? And I'm like, I am not painting faces. That would be bad. But then she walked up, I was like, hey. So we drafted her. We drafted a few people because our line was so long. But I tell you what, those people who paint faces, it doesn't seem like that would be hard work. It is super hard work because they sit there, they're bent over in a hard chair for hours and hours and hours. And, you know, they got a grip on those little kids' heads, you know. You should see Josh when he's painting the face. He's like, you know, he's got their head. I mean, they're not moving at all. But they do such a great job, and our line was so long, we actually had to turn a lot of people away because there just wasn't enough time. And but we were just showed the love of Jesus. People always try to pay. We refuse any tips or anything like that. We're just like, we're here because Jesus loves you. That's why we're here. And just a great time. We had such an awesome time, and so many volunteers represented your church really, really well. They did such a great job. And so thanks again for everybody. And we gave away a 1 year's worth of pizza that was graciously donated by Marisol and her little Caesar empire she has. And so we gave that away, and it was so exciting because the winner was standing right in front of the wheel as it was turning. And she was a little girl. She was so excited that she won. And so that's always fun when the winner is there. And so her family was just overjoyed that they won that. We got the videos on Facebook if you want to watch it. So that just made it even more fun. You know, like we have a big green thing that we put the names in, and we're turning it. She's standing right here. Right here. And Pastor Steve turned the wheel, and one card stuck out by itself, and he said, well, we got a winner here, and it was her. So that just makes it even more fun and exciting because she was there. But again, it was great. It's awesome to celebrate the freedom that we have here in the U.S., and I would encourage all of you. You know, I tend not to get super political behind the pulpit. It's just, you know, some pastors are called to do that, and they do a great job doing it. I personally don't. very much. I am political in my personal life, and I'm very aware and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to say this. I love this country. I think it is the best idea there is. Amen? I think it's the best idea there is. It's not perfect. We have issues, right? Look at your neighbor and say, obviously. We have issues in our country. But I would encourage you on this, to pray for the rights of Christians. Because regardless of what side of the fence you are on, whether you are Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever it says on your voting card, I do not think that you can deny that the rights of believers are being attacked in this country. And it has nothing to do with any rulings or anything like that. It has to do with the spirit of Antichrist. It has to do with the end times coming. And so I just encourage you to pray that our nation remains a nation that practices, not doesn't just say it, but practices freedom of religion. Amen? So do that. I would encourage you to do that. Pray for our nation. I know that yesterday it was such a blessing when we got to the park early in the morning. We got rained out a little bit to set up, but just to give you a little testimony, you know, there was about six of us there, and we went to set up. It was very hot. Holy smokes, it was so hot. And, it just rained, so there's like steam coming off the ground, you know that feeling? But when we got to the park, at Bryant Park, they had Christian music blasting through the whole place. The city of Lake Worth was playing it, or whoever had control of the Pandora, whatever they were using, was playing it. And we prayed before we started, and we prayed for our nation, and we prayed for the event, and prayed for protection, and all those kind of things. And I'll tell you, prayer works. And so I encourage you to make sure that you still pray for the best idea there is. Don't get so caught up in all the stuff that doesn't work. Let's get excited about the stuff that does work. Amen? That does work. But today we're going to continue our series called Believe. You guys ready? And in honor of the 4th of July and talking about freedom, and yesterday my cousin Douglas, he loves to send really, really long texts. It's like a whole message. You know, he can preach it, and that's what he's doing. He's preaching to me, which I love because he's very talented and gifted and has a lot of great ideas. But he texted me something about freedom and 4th of July and all this kind of stuff, and we were going back and forth, and one of the things that came up in our text was, I said, a government cannot make you free. Only God can truly make you free. There are people who live in the freest country that exists, and that's ours, and still are bound by so much fear and depression, anxiety, all kinds of things. And so really and truly, only God can set you free. Amen? And so today we're going to continue in our Believe series, and today is believe that you are free. Amen? Believe that you are free, because fear is so damaging to our lives. And fear shows up in lots of different ways, but its root is the same thing. It is a fear of the unknown. It is a fear of failure. It is a fear of not being enough. It's a fear of not being good enough. It's a fear of being exposed. You know, whatever fear you have, it's still a fear. It's something that stops you. And so today I just want to encourage you that you must believe that you are free. And you know, and some of us in here, because maybe we've been in the Word for a long time, we understand how good God is, the power of God has worked in our lives. And so sometimes we can think like, well, of course you're free. Of course. But one of the stories in the Bible that I love, I preached on it many times, and it's not in your notes on the Bible app, but this is a freebie. You guys ready for a freebie? I didn't write this down. This is a freebie. You know, when Jesus went to the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, how many remember that story? And that man had been laying there. That's where the pool of Bethesda, for those of us who don't know, it was a place where people who were disabled, they had some type of disability, you know, a lost limb, they're paralyzed, blind, all these kind of things. They would come and they would lay by this pool, and then an angel would come down and stir the water, and whoever was in the water at that time would be healed. How many say that's pretty cool, right? But you know, the great news is we don't have to wait for an angel anymore because Jesus has come. Jesus has come. And so anyway, so Jesus gets there, And there's a man that's been there, and the Bible says he's been laying there for 38 years. How many know that's a long time? How many in here are younger than 38? Raise your hand. It's longer than you've been alive. That's a long time. And for those of us who are just a little bit over 38, just a little bit, how many know 38 years is a long time? And so this guy has been laying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Now Jesus is on the scene. And Jesus comes to the man, and he asks him a question, which seems like a strange question. He asks him this: do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? And at first, you know, I always skip past that because I think that's an obvious question. Of course I want to be well, right? But the thing is, Jesus asks that question, and Jesus doesn't ask any questions that are not important. And I believe the reason Jesus asked that question is because the guy's been there for 38 years. And then when Jesus says, you know, what's going on here? What's the deal? He says, well, there's no one ever here to put me in the water. Somebody always gets in front of me. This happens or this happens. And then Jesus says, pick up your mat, let's go. And the man was instantly made healed. He was instantly made whole. But the thing about it is, Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? And really, that's a question that we need to ask ourselves, especially when it comes to things that hold us back. We need to ask ourselves, do you want to be free? Or have you been in bondage for so long that it's now part of your identity? Have you been in bondage for so long that it's now part of who you are? It's your story. And you could possibly feel like, if I don't have this, then I don't have a story. If I don't have this, if I don't have this part of me, if I don't have this issue, this thing that's holding, if I don't have whatever it is, everybody's got something different. If I don't have this, then what's my story? What's going to get me attention? Hello! Woo! That's good preaching there right there. And so when Jesus says, do you want to be made well, we need to ask ourselves, do I want to be free? Because to be free, number one, you got to face whatever's going on. You got to deal with it. You got to admit to the fact that this is not right. This is not right. Some of us need to look at our lives, need to look at ways that we've communicated, ways that we've ran our families, things that we've allowed in our lives. We need to look at it and just be honest and say, you know what? I've been dealing with you a long time. There's a lot of reasons why I've been dealing with you. I didn't want to put up with the fallout of dealing with you. I didn't want to be on the outs with people because I deal with you. I just don't want to deal with you. But I recognize you're messing up my life. And I've got to deal with it. Amen? And so when Jesus asked that guy, do you want to be made well? It was really a good question. And so we need to really ask ourselves, do I want to be free? Do you want to be free from the dysfunction of your family? The only way to be free from dysfunction is to begin to operate in function. Somebody say amen, because that's just good. Is to finally call things out that need to be called out. You say, oh, but it's going to cause so many troubles. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. It's going to bring freedom. Because whatever you are allowing in your family, you're training your family that that is normal and okay. Whatever you got going on there, they're going to repeat to a greater degree in their family. Because things, you ever notice about things, they always get worse. Isn't that the truth? Stuff always gets worse. Problems very rarely get better on their own. We just ignore them, and we begin to live with them. Then we're okay with them. Then they're part of us. Then it's, oh, well, that's just how you are. Right? And so when Jesus said, do you want to be made well, we could say in here today, do we really want to be free? Do we want to be free? Because and the really great part about the story, you can find it in the book of John, is that no matter how long you've been dealing with something, you can always get free from it.
Amen.
This guy had been dealing with his illness for 38 years, but there was still, like that, Jesus set him free. And Jesus is still in the business of setting people free. Amen. All right, so let's, now that I brought you all down, let's get going. Here we go. Where shall we begin? Psalms 34, verse number 4. This is out of the Good News. Sometimes I read stuff out of different translations, and I just love it. Out of the Good News Bible, it says this: I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Whatever you're afraid of facing, God can help you face it, and he will free you from it. Amen? And so when we listen to this, this is such a good thing. 20 years ago, they did, and I've shared this before, but it's always good to hear again. 20 years ago, actually it'd be 25 years ago now, because I got this about five years ago. 25 years ago, the top five greatest fears of elementary school children were, you ready? Animals, dark rooms, strangers, high places, and loud noise. Now, today, about 5 years ago, they did the survey again, and the top five fears of elementary children are parents divorcing, nuclear war, getting cancer, pollution, or getting molested. Isn't that crazy? How many can say our times have changed? Times have changed. But you know, the really great news is that God has not changed. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about fear. In fact, the Bible says more about fear than it does about heaven. The Bible says more about fear than it does about hell. Isn't that amazing? Because God addresses what we deal with. And we deal with fear. We deal with fear. And so when we think about this, and the Bible tells us, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. God wants you to be in control of your fears and not the fear of something being in control of you. Nothing should control us other than our submission to God. And I don't say God can control us, because God will not control you. God will not violate your will. That's another reason why Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be made well? Because he needed to know if he wanted it, because if he didn't want it, he wouldn't make him well. God will not violate your will. It's like when everybody says, oh, you know, what's that thing? God is my co-pilot. Well, really, we need to make God the pilot, and I'm just going to come under you and say, Lord, whatever your will is, that's what I want. Your will be done in my life. But God is not going to come in and say, you're going to do what I tell you to do, and that's all there is to it. God doesn't do that. Sometimes I wish he would. Like, Lord, just take me wherever I need to go, right? No, God leads me where I need to go. He leads me, amen? And so God wants us to be in control of our life. I'll never forget Brother Hagin sharing this story, and it was so good, and it may step on your toe, but that's okay, because it stepped on mine when I heard it too. Brother Hagin shared a story. He loved root beer. He loved root beer. And he loved root beer and pizza. And whenever they would get back on the plane to fly home or whatever, there'd be a root beer and a pizza there for Brother Hagin. But anyway, he said that he got to the point where his body craved that root beer, that Coke. Well, actually, it was a root beer, but he called it a Coke. How many grew up where every soft drink was a Coke? Anybody else? Like where I grew up in Indiana, it was like, oh, I'll have a Coke. But that meant you could have an orange, a Mountain Dew, a Pepsi. It didn't matter. Everything was Coke. And so, anyway, so Brother Hagin, he said that he felt his body begin to crave that root beer. And it was such a realization to him. And he said he immediately quit drinking root beer. Because he said this. Now, you know, Brother Hagin, how many know he's extreme? He was. So, but he said, I don't want anything to control me. I don't want anything to control me. So he quit drinking root beer. He broke that. He felt like that was bondage over him. And some of you are like, oh my goodness, rolling your eyes like, that's the least of my problems. That's the least of my problems, root beer, right? Well, here's the thing. That's just an example of where we could be, amen? Where we could be about realizing we don't want anything to control us, you know? We don't want anything to control us. And so let's look at the damage that fear does. Here's the damage fear does. Let me just read them to you real quick, and then we'll go through each one. Number one, it paralyzes potential. It paralyzes it. It ruins relationships, it hinders happiness, and it sabotages success. Let's do that first one. It paralyzes potential. How many know when something's paralyzed, it can't move? Can't move. It limits our effectiveness. It causes us to miss opportunities. When we become afraid, it keeps us from doing more with our lives. You know, how many of us have ever dreamed of doing more or doing something, but because of fear, we didn't step out? How many of us have ever wanted to talk to somebody, but we were too afraid? How many of us ever really wanted a job, but we were too afraid to go apply for it? How many of us have ever just had a God idea on the inside, but fear kept us from stepping out and really like, let's just try it, right? How many of us have ever been on the high dive, getting ready to jump off, and then like, nope, don't think so, and turned around and walked off, right? Fear stops you. Fear of something, fear of not being perfect. I can't tell you how many people I meet, and just because if it's not perfect, they don't want to do it. If they can't do it perfectly, they won't do it at all. Perfectionism will rob you of so much. You need to deal with that and let it go. Because there's only one perfect person, and that was Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm all for excellence. I want things done well, and I want them done with excellence. That's how God designed us, and we all need to do that. But let's not look at something and say, well, I can't do it perfect, so I'm not going to do it. Or as soon as we make one tiny little mistake, like, oh, well, obviously I can't do it. I can't do that, right? You can't live that way. That's fear controlling your steps, and it's paralyzing your potential. There's so many great things that God has called us to do, so many people that need to hear the gospel, but because of how they look or how much money they have or who they are, we're intimidated by them and we don't talk to them. Or we're afraid of a no. And I say, I've dealt with that too. I don't want to hear no, so I'm not even going to ask. But really, the only thing that's going to hurt us is not doing this. You know, I always ask myself, what's the worst thing that could happen? What is the worst thing that could happen? They just stand, look at you, and laugh their heads off and just poke the, like, listen to this girl, oh my goodness. But you know, when that happens, you just walk away. A lot easier said than done, though, right? A lot easier said than done. So fear will paralyze potentials. You know, there's a quote that says, all of us have reservoirs of full potential, vast areas of great satisfaction, but the road that leads to those reservoirs are guarded by the dragon of fear. Isn't that good? Everybody has a vast reservoir of potential. Everybody does. And whenever you feel like you don't, you need to remind yourself, I am made in the image and the likeness of God. The Creator has made me, and He has put parts of Him in me. I'm made like Him. I'm made in His image and His likeness. If He's creative, I'm creative. If He's compassionate, I'm compassionate. If He's wise, I'm wise. If He's smart, I'm smart. Amen? Because I'm made in His likeness. It's like little kids, you know, when you see, how many have ever seen a little kid, they look exactly like their parent. And you're just like, I mean, I know our little Noah, he looks exactly like my nephew Chris. And whenever he does things, we're always like, oh, that's so much like Chris. Because he looks like him, he talks like him, he acts like him. Why? Because Chris is his father. But you know what? God is your father. And you look like him. You have his tendencies. And the more you yield to that part of you, the more of those will come out. Because that's how you're made. And so when we think about, you say, well, oh, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to do. I don't have anything special. You do, because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. You are so much greater. We're all so much greater than we give ourselves credit for. Well, some people do a pretty good job of giving, you know. Some people do a pretty good job. But, you know, most people always sell themselves short. Most people. But you know what? Let's not be most people. Let's not let fear do that. Let's keep going. A scripture I love is John, we talked about this last week, John 20:19. It says, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish authorities. This was right after Jesus had been crucified. And they had tremendous things to share. I mean, God had spoke to them. They were used by God. They had seen miracles. And here, guess where they were? They were in the upper room with the doors locked. But you know what? God always has an answer to fear. Because what did God do? This is so good. Oh, this is Holy Ghost. I never thought about this before. But here's all the disciples. How many disciples have we got in here? That just means you're a follower of Christ. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Hello, Judas was a disciple. Amen. Peter was a disciple. Perfection is not a qualification. Willingness is a qualification. Submission is a qualification. And so here's all the disciples. They're in the upper room. Jesus has just been crucified. How many know this story from the book of Acts? And they have the doors locked because they're afraid of everybody. But what did Jesus, what did God do? The Holy Spirit came in there. What's our answer to fear? The Holy Ghost. Amen? Man, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to be. It's not going to keep you out of heaven not being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so many people are like, oh, I just, they just can't make, they just can't get it in their head. You know what? That's the problem. It doesn't need to be in your head. It needs to be in your spirit, man. Amen? Your head got you where you're at. You might want to bypass that thing. Right? You might want to bypass that head because it's got you where you're at. And that's one of the things the Holy Ghost will help you do. That's another lesson. All right, let's keep going. Number two thing that fear does, it ruins relationships. Man's oldest problem is fear. All the way back to Genesis, the very first situation, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 10, it says this. Adam says, I was afraid and I hid from you. I hid from you. Can you imagine hiding from God? Some of you are like, no. Yes, you can, because you do it all the time. We have all done it. You know, he's hiding in fear because of what had happened. Here's what fear does. Fear causes you to cover stuff up, not deal with it. Fear causes you to wear masks. Fear causes us to not say what we're really thinking, to pretend that we're somebody that we're not. It causes us to lie. And one of the greatest blocks in intimacy, in marriage, in friendship, or any relationship is fear. Because fear says, I'm afraid if I tell you who I am, if I tell you who I am and how I feel and what I'm really like, that you won't like me anymore. And that's fear. That is fear. Here's the thing. One good thing to always remember in marriage is that you don't have to be perfect because look at your spouse. They're not perfect either, right? Just whenever you feel that pressure, like, oh man, I got to be this or I got to be that, just look at them and be like, you know what? We're in this together. If we bring our weaknesses together, somebody in this partnership is going to have a strength there. Is going to be better at it than, you know, sometimes I'm just like, man, I am so weak in this area. But then I look at my husband, I think, well, you got strength in that area that I don't have. And so instead of hiding it, instead of covering up, intimacy and closeness and the way marriage works is I don't have to cover my weakness. I don't have to hide my weakness. I look for strength in you in the areas that I am weak. And if you don't have them, we look together to God. Because if you don't have them, then obviously we're both weak in this area and we need some major help, right? But I don't have to hide it. I don't have to cover it up. I can, you know, one of the reasons why we're going to say the word naked in church. You guys ready? One of the reasons why Adam and Eve were naked is because in marriage there's not supposed to be anything between you. That was nakedness not only physically, but that's nakedness also emotionally. There's not supposed to be anything between you. You need to know where I'm weak so you can be strong in those areas or you can pray for me. But fear will say, well, I don't want to tell you because it might scare you. I don't want to tell you because you might leave. I don't want to tell you because of this, or I don't want to tell you because of that. And that is fear. And whenever you deal with situations in fear, it never resolves. The Holy Ghost spoke this word to me. I was praying about a situation earlier in this year, and the Lord said this, I was just praying in the Spirit, and this just rose up in me, because, you know, God will make you smarter than you are. Aren't you glad? I am so glad for that. So glad. And I said this, you will never be free using the enemy's tools. When you try to cover stuff up, and you try to make something, and you try to, you know, spin the cycle so that nobody knows the truth, it will always bite you. Always. And it may not bite you right away, but doing that is causing separation in those relationships. It's causing separation in your marriage. You're still married, But there is separation there. Everybody who's married knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because we've all, if you've been married longer than a year, you've probably been there. Or just you keep holding something back. And that doesn't mean, you know, you say, listen, I got to tell you every deep, dark secret I got. Just sit down. I'm just going to. No, that's not exactly what that means. That means a lifestyle of openness, a lifestyle of not covering up, a lifestyle of saying where I am weak, you are strong. Where you are weak, I am strong. We are in this together. It's a way that you live. It's not just something you do once a year. It's the way that you live. And that if you let fear in there, fear will cause separation. Fear will cause you to it's hard to explain in words, but if you look at the relationship of Adam and Eve, you can see exactly what fear does in a relationship. It causes you to hide things. It causes you to cover up. It causes you not to walk in the freedom that you walked in before. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they walked in the garden with God. After they sinned, because they dealt with it incorrectly, then they hid themselves from God. They covered themselves from one another. Why are they wearing fig leaves? They're the only two people there. Right? They were hiding from God and one another because fear of what they had done. Listen, you've done it. Let God help you deal with it. Don't cover it up. For one thing, God said to Adam, why are you hiding from me? It's kind of like, why are you hiding? I can see everything. You know, what good is that going to do? There's no point there. God can see, listen, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's been there. Some of us are like, oh, Jesus, help me. Right? But, you know, he's been there. You might as well be honest with him. And so when we're talking about fear, another thing it does, it hinders happiness. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry can rob you of happiness. David says, I'm worn out by my worries. Have you ever spent a night just tossing and turning? We probably all have. And really, worry is borrowed fear. You're afraid of something that could happen. Because it hasn't happened yet. That's worry. And so when it comes to fear, worry can really just grab a hold of you and it can rob you of your happiness. If all you're doing is sitting doing this, it's hard to live like that. And then number four, it sabotages success. Job 3:25 says, everything I fear and dread comes true. Everything I fear and dread comes true. We need to be aware of what we're looking for. If fear is so big in our life, it's going to produce so much anxiety, so much dread for tomorrow, so much dread for the future, that it's just going to sabotage everything in your life. And we're going to end up doing nothing. It's going to sabotage that success. But let's look quickly at the remedy. How many want the remedy? Now that we've all been like, geez, this fear, right? Let's look at that. How many know there's always a remedy with God? Always. There is nothing too messed up for God. There is no family too messed up. There is no marriage, in my opinion, that is too messed up. And you say, well, why do people get divorces? People get divorces because of many reasons, and that's between them and God. Amen? But I believe this with all of my heart, that it is never too late for a happy ending with God. I believe that. But it takes two. A lot of times the reason why is because it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to fix something that's broken. Even though God is doing it and God is helping you, when we have to change some things, it hurts. How many have ever, I remember my brother, he was having some back trouble. And he went to the chiropractor, true story, he went to the chiropractor to get adjusted. And he went in there, and the chiropractor told him that he was totally out of adjustment. And I was like, I could have told you that. I could have told you. You're totally out of adjustment in many areas. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, he goes to the chiropractor to get adjusted. The chiropractor said, because he'd never been before, he said, you're really out of whack here. You're totally out of whack. And so he adjusted him. He adjusted and got him all straightened out. He was in so much pain. He was in so much pain. Now, he was in pain before, but now he was in more pain after he went to get adjusted and went to get it fixed and got help. He's in more pain. And you know what? A lot of times that's exactly how it is with God, too. And here's why. He said to the doctor, he said, why am I hurting so much more now than I was before? He said, because your body has compensated so long for being out of adjustment that now you're pulling on muscles and pulling on tendons and standing totally different than you were before. And it's going to be very, very painful for a short period, but then you're going to be better. That is good. That's exactly how it is with God sometimes. Sometimes when we've been out of adjustment for so long, we've been covering up and putting on masks and pretending we're somebody else because of fear, that when we finally say, all right, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with this dysfunction. I'm going to deal with this fear. I'm going to deal with this. That when those adjustments start coming, we were like this, and now we're standing straight, and these muscles over here are like, what? What? You know? And sometimes when you get adjusted by God, your heart is saying, what? Because you're having to look at things. Sometimes when you get adjusted by God, your flesh is saying, oh no, I want to say exactly what I want to say, and I want to do exactly what I want to do, and I want to blah, 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 right? And then you got to remind yourself, that's what got you where you were. But it hurts to keep your mouth shut sometimes. It hurts to deal. You know what? And I don't know why we're going so much in this direction, but a lot of times, especially as adults, there are things that we need to look back on in our lives that have happened to us. And sometimes people have covered that up so deeply that when it finally comes time to look at it, you see things from an adult point of view now. And sometimes, and this doesn't apply all the time, I just feel led of the Lord to say this. Sometimes you have to deal with the mistakes and failures of your parents. And that can be very painful. Because we are, I don't know why we're going here, but this is for somebody. Because maybe you have always looked at that parent as being so great and so wonderful, and they probably are so great and wonderful. But then because of something that's happened, you've had to look at their role in something. Maybe they didn't do what needed to be done, or that's how you feel, or maybe they made mistakes, which all parents do. All parents make mistakes. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. And most often, not always, but most often, those mistakes that parent has made, the push behind it was that they loved you. They loved you. But because of maybe from their generation, how they were raised, they handled it incorrectly, and it caused more pain than it should have. And so sometimes, because of that, it may cause your relationship to be a little more painful while it's going through that adjustment stage. But if you let God do what God does, He heals, He restores, He redeems, He forgives, He gives mercy. God will bring in all His grace. And it may be painful, but it's going to have true life in it later. Does that make sense? That's for somebody in here today. That's another freebie. You guys are getting all these freebies today. You know, somebody maybe needed to hear that today. But listen, sometimes, even in marriage, you got to deal with situations that are going to cause some rough time. Because maybe you're not letting somebody just live their life without you anymore. Sometimes that's what spouses do. I'm just going to let them do whatever they want and whatever. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to be here. Listen, that you may be doing that out of love, but you can't live like that. Because you think by letting somebody do whatever they want to do, especially men, listen, you're supposed to be the head of the house. And when you let your wife be the head because you don't want to deal with her, that's wrong. That is wrong. And she may be happy now, but we as women, we are not designed to be the head of the house. That, and some of you ladies here are like, what? You're like, Pastor Peggy, come on. I mean, I can just feel the hair on the back of your neck standing up. Like, what? It's the truth. Listen, I am a strong individual. I think that's pretty obvious. I don't get pushed around easily at all, unless I choose to be. I just don't want to deal with you, so you can do whatever you want. But the thing is, in my home, I am not the head. I am not the boss. I am not Pastor Peggy at home. My husband does not say, Pastor Peggy, what would you like for dinner? That does not happen. That does not happen. Because that would be like our bodies. That would be like walking around like this all the time. You know, and the thing is, and so I see it, and you say, well, I just don't want to deal with it. Her head's going to spin. She's going to make my life miserable, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you're going to have to peel that Band-Aid off one day or another. You might as well do it now.
Yeah.
Do it now. But don't do it till you're prayed up. Don't do it till you realize exactly what it means to be the head of the house. And don't expect your wife to submit to you unless you love her like Christ loves the church. So many men are like, you need to submit. You need to submit. You know what we need to do? We need to be like, you need to love me like Christ loves the church. You start loving me like Christ loves the church, I will gladly submit to you. But love always comes before submission. There you go, ladies. Got your back. I got your back. I got your back. But here we go. Let's look at the antidote. We're all over the place this morning. The antidote, really, we're just closed right here, is in John chapter 8, verse number 32. Turn there in your Bibles, or at least look at it on your Bible app, because this is one you need to know where it's at. You need to underline it. You need to be able to flip here. You need to know this one. And it says, you will know the truth. So say, know the truth. And the truth will set you free. When you know the truth, say, know the truth again. You got to know the truth. It's not something you can just hear. It's not something somebody else can know for you. You need to know the truth. You need to know it. Because when you know the truth, it will set you free. When you know who you are in Christ, you will no longer feel intimidated when you walk into a room. When you know who you are in Christ, you will expect God's ability in you. And so when a challenge comes, you will say, I'll do it. Because you know he's going to meet you. You know that. Closing, you know, we went to the RMAI meeting. I'll tell myself a little bit. Went to our Rhema Ministerial Association meeting, the national head of all the Rhema pastors was there. His name is Doug Jones. He was there. As well as all the pastors from the whole state of Florida, right? All the pastors. And so the night before, I get a text message saying, hey, I would like for you to speak tomorrow for about 12 or 15 minutes on any subject that you would like. Now, you guys probably think, well, of course, you speak every Sunday. Why would that be difficult? What's the big deal? All the Florida pastors. This is the national director of huge 35,000 or however many pastors there are. He's the head. Right? Dun, dun, dun. Now, here's the thing. A very good friend of mine had been asked, and they said no. They said, no, I'm not doing it. And I was like, are you kidding? Why wouldn't you do it? I'm not doing that. And so then, you know, I was second choice. Okay, that's all right. So they asked me. And my immediate, everything in me was like, say no, say no, say no. Say no. Don't do this to yourself, Peggy. Say no. But you know what I said? I said, I know God will meet me. I know this is a God opportunity. I know that these people hear from God, and I'm not going to go home to my church and say, well, we have this opportunity, but I was too chicken to take it. I was not going to be that person. I was not going to be that person. And so I was like, I text back, sure, no problem, of course. What? You know, of course, I got this, you know. But the whole day I text my friends, hey, pray for me. You really got to pray for me. I need prayer. But you know what? God meets you. You can never, and I said to myself, I will not let fear fear keep me from doing anything that I want to do. Because the truth of the matter is, I wanted to do it. I mean, it's a tremendous honor. Number one, they don't have women do it ever. Ever. And this time, they had two of us do it. My good friend Jane and me, we were like, we got this, psh, you know? But we both said it. We were like, they're letting the girls do this? This is crazy, because they just don't. And you may say, oh, that's not fair. It's not fair, but that's how it is. You know? But you, listen, that's, you're saying something's not fair, it's never going to happen for you. The Bible says that God will lift you up. Don't be a jerk about it and be like, where's the girls going to do it? Just let God do it. And you know what? It may take time, but God will do it. And so I encourage you, know the truth. Because that fear comes, and the fear is you're going to mess up, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, but that's just false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. You got to replace it with the truth. The truth is God has given me a tongue for teaching to strengthen the weary with the word. The truth is I am anointed of God. The truth is the Holy Spirit will fill my mouth with the right words to say. The truth is I have favor with every man I stand before. The truth is Joshua says that no man can stand before me. That's the truth. And you know, in my hotel room, I was like, that's the truth. But I had to preach it to myself. And you're going to have to preach it to yourself, because we can't let fear hold us back. We've got to believe that we are free from fear. Amen? We got to believe that. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person in this room today that has something they've got to deal with, something that's just holding them back. I just feel in my spirit, guys, that there's just some family situations here, some family situations that need to be dealt with. And you have filled the cupboard with what ifs, because God has already spoken to you through his word, through his truth, of what to do. But you keep saying, well, what about this? 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 And the Lord would say to you today, the greatest example, the greatest gift you can give your children and your family is to follow the word of God. When you compromise the word in your family, you compromise the strength of God in your family. Because you are showing your children that he's not big enough for whatever the situation is. He's not big enough. So God is encouraging some people in here today. Deal with the stuff that you got to deal with. And trust that the truth will set you free. Trust that God got your back. Trust that God will work it out. God loves your family more than you have any idea and more than you can. God loves your family. And he gave us his word as a guide and a way to run our families, to run our households. And his way is always the best way. So I pray for whoever that is in here today, you need to hear that you would hear those words. And that you would find the strength to deal with the fear that is keeping you from doing what God has told you to. Oh, we just thank you, Lord. As I look around here this morning, I know everybody here, I think. But just to be sure, let's just all make sure that we've all received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute, and you would say, Pastor Peggy, there was a time in my life where I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I opened my heart to him and said, Lord, I want to give you all of me for all of you. I received him, and I am born again on my way to heaven. If that's you, raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. Rest of you guys, I know you're saved. You don't have your hand up. You know, you got to raise your hand to get to heaven. Some of you guys are just going to pass on by because you won't do it. That's all right. Now put your hand down. Now you're here today and you say, you know what? I have never done that. I have never asked Jesus into my heart. I have never asked him and confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. But today, I want to make that declaration. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, because I know that without him, my life is never going to be all that it should be, all that it could be. And without him, I can't go to the Father. I can't go to heaven because Jesus said there's only one way to the Father, and it's through the Son. So if you're here today and you want to change your life forever, want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, want to have all your sins forgiven, want to receive all the power you need to live life on this earth, and want to know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven and not hell, then today's the day to say yes to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand up and say yes to him. Anybody like that? Oh, we thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We thank you that we're all on our way to heaven and that, Father, you use us here on this earth to spread your word, to pray for people, and to be a light in a dark place. In Jesus' name, amen.